scaling your flight school without sacrificing safety standards. What do you think about that?
The whole point of scaling is that
there's a lot of flight schools that don't have new planes. And trust me, sometimes you don't want to fly the new planes. The new planes have just as many issues as the old ones do, by the way, except for the new ones might look prettier. And that will give you a false sense of safety and security.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today is a rainy day in our podcast studio. It's not raining in here yet, but it's about to. Like just in a couple hours.
Ceiling or
not yet?
Oh, okay,
not yet.
We had some great plans for tomorrow that got rained out. I'm really bummed about it.
We had great plans. We were supposed to go golfing in the morning, and then go to the horse races. And then I had this amazing dinner that I was supposed to go to, and all of it got canceled. This is why I like Florida better sometimes.
I understand. Well, I was thinking, you know, I even said in that group chat, I was like, as long as we're not going outside waving metal sticks around, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But we're golfing. So
yeah. Kind of got screwed up. So instead we're going to go indoor things. We're going to go try to figure that out tomorrow afternoon. So that'll be fun. We'll report on that when we get back next week.
It'll be a blast.
It will be a blast. Yes, it will. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us today. I wanted to start off the conversation by something I got to do yesterday. Guess what that was?
Did you get to fly?
I went flying.
Hot damn. Look at you actually flying more. I'm really proud of you.
I flew. I took the icon up just for currency yesterday. And I decided I would just have a little fun. So I went over. The pattern was closed at Riverside. So I flew over to Chino. And I did two touch and goes there. Came back. Did a full stop. Did like a carrier landing. It was a lot of fun. I did like the short approach ever. I asked the tower. I said, can I just do a short approach? I want to speed up your pattern for you. He said, I would love that.
So Brandon loves short approach. I do too. They're so much fun.
Well, I cut all the power, threw in all my flaps, and side slipped it down what felt like I was coming in at like a sideways angle to the runway. It was fantastic.
Well, it's a small airplane.
So it was a small airplane. Alone? Yeah, I was by myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. So I took the icon up and did all that and came in and had a beautiful landing. I just felt really good flying yesterday. Then I did the other thing.
Wait. Speaking of the icon. I tell you, I was talking to this guy at the post office.
No.
And I had got to go ship something to one of our employees in the Philippines.
Oh, I did hear this. Oh, this is a good story.
And he was like, we were just talking. And yeah, I was there for half an hour because it's a lot of paperwork to ship something overseas. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so what do you do for work? You know, you have employees in the Philippines. I was like, I work for this company that finances flight training. Like, yeah, pretty cool. And he was like, oh, I love planes. And he's like, there's this really cool one. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called an A5. And I was like, let me blow your mind for a second. And then I showed him all the pictures and videos of when I got to fly the A5 over in Oshkosh a couple years ago. And yeah, they let me land it in the water. Like I actually did a water landing.
Oh, you had that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
They were like, just act like it's normal landing. It'll be fine. I was like, okay, cool. And it was just totally smooth water. So they let me land it.
That's
so
fantastic.
It was incredible. So one water landing. But I showed him that video and I showed him all the pictures of when you picked up the A5 and you're sitting on the wing.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, this is so cool. Totally made his day. He's just working at the post office. You know, it's not fun.
I mean, that's probably not very fun working at post office. Yeah, no offense, post office workers listening.
Yeah, it's not as fun as airplanes.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So that was really cool. I got to blow his mind for a second and show off the A5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, besides that, I got to meet Rich at Kavu. I talked to him. He wants to come back on the podcast and have some more maintenance stuff with us, which would be fantastic. And I'm getting more integrated with my old flight school, Next Gen Flight Academy, a little bit more. So I've been spending some time over there. I spent pretty much the whole day over there yesterday and had a blast. I got to know some of our new students that were starting over there. Two of them came in. A couple of them got referred from others.
That's cool. Did you get to see the joy in their face and the spark that they have?
I did. Yeah, it was so awesome.
It's invigorating because exactly. They're actually just so excited and you know, they haven't had a hard landing yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was sitting at the front desk too. So I was like interacting.
It's actually a really fun job being a dispatcher. Yeah. To interact with people and you know, feel the excitement and help them through the hard times sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I taught the detailer guy that they've got over there how to taxi an airplane. I didn't sign him off for that because he wasn't proficient yet, but I was teaching him how to do that. I showed him how to clean an airplane properly, what materials to use so he can get bugs off easier. Keyword, it's a lemon pledge. Put it on your leading edges of the entire airplane, actually. Leading edges of wings, leading edges of everything. So your bugs don't stick. They'll wipe right off. It's amazing.
I love lemon pledge.
Lemon pledge is the best. And it doesn't hurt anything.
We used to buy like a 4-pack every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper than all that plexiglass stuff, and you can use it on the glass, too.
Yeah, I had no issues and never hurt the glass.
Yeah, I mean, if it hurts your glass, that's on you, but I used it, didn't hurt my glass, plexiglass.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
It's fantastic. Lemon pledges. Perfect.
We need to talk more about keeping the planes clean.
Oh, yes, we do.
I think a whole episode about that.
We
have strong opinions. We both do.
Yeah, they need to be meticulously cleaned and perfect all the time.
Some people don't keep their planes clean.
No,
and it's so easy. Well,
they'll leave trash everywhere inside of it.
That's the most insane thing because you're not going through a drive-through like in your plane, like you in your car. Where's the trash coming from?
Well, people bring snacks.
Yeah, but like, how do you not just throw it back in your bag?
I know who you're referring to on this one.
No,
yeah, it's not either one of us, by the way. Somebody we know very well.
I got big feelings.
Yes, exactly. So outside of that, I wanted to get the Icon brought over to my hangar in Chino. That was my goal. And my dad had a bunch of stuff in there all stored in my hangar because he was buying and selling like things. And I was like, please
get stuff. Is your dad retired?
Is he just he's kind of retired.
Killing time?
Yeah. Well, hopefully not, but he does a bunch of things. So I bring over the Icon over there and I fold up the wings and everything. I said, okay, let's put this in there. And I'll fly the RV over to Rich because the annual ends this month. So it needs to get a new annual. So I took the RV up and I haven't flown the RV in 6 months. So I was wondering, what speed do I land this at? I can't really remember. So I kind of estimated.
It's better to go faster or slower?
Better to go faster. And well, with that long of a runway, it's better to go faster.
Yeah.
I figured worst case, I overshoot the runway and I go around and I come in slower. And by the way, that is not something you as a student should do. That is something that me as a longtime flight instructor knows how to do. So I just want to make sure that's very clear.
And you also have a good handful of hours in that plane.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have 30, 40 hours in that plane itself. So I knew how it feels when it stalls and I know exactly what it was going to feel like. So I ended up coming in around 60 and I think the number was really like 55 or 58, something like that should have been what my approach speed should have been. But, that was just kind of how I felt about it.
Yeah. Well, you can fly by the seat of your pants at that point. You're fine.
Yeah. It felt nice. But so I got to fly that RV, dropped it off over to Kavu, and Larry was there to put it in the hangar because as I get older, my eyes and depth perception is not as good. That's why my medical says I have to wear glasses, unfortunately. But my driver's license doesn't. That should scare everybody. And I don't wear them on this podcast either. So I can still read pretty well. But my depth perception with wings, I get a little nervous with it. I don't want to clip a wing or clip a hangar door.
Yeah, it's not your plane. And there's also other planes in that hangar that are not yours.
Yeah.
So. And hangar doors are probably not cheap.
So Larry stayed for 20 more minutes.
Well, they have the cool little robot, right?
Yeah, but we didn't use the robot. It was kind of the end of the day. And it would be really hard to use the robot on that plane unless it's going forward because it's got this. It's not free casting. It just kind of goes in different directions each way.
Yeah, it's a little wobbly.
Yeah, so I ended up bringing that over there and it was absolutely a blast. I love flying that little airplane. And
I go up in it. Then I can get current with it. Then I can fly with Dave.
Yep. Dave wants to fly it a lot. I sent him a little video of my flight, which was cool.
Yeah. Let me go in there.
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll make it happen after it gets out of annual. We'll probably be done in a couple weeks.
Everybody heard that. Cool. This is my Christmas present.
Christmas present.
Come on.
Yes. Better tell Rich to get it done.
Okay. I'll see him at the Christmas party. And if it's not then, I'll just take the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's out of annual. What's the worst that can happen, right?
Mm. So. Don't listen to that. That was a bad idea.
FAA, I'm just kidding.
He is very kidding. All right. So I know we've kind of rambled on about talking about flying, which is always a good time in our book. But we wanted to talk about one other thing. And we put together a type of script today, but it's not really a script. It's kind of our show notes that we talk about. But the heading of this was scaling your flight school without sacrificing safety standards. What do you think about that?
I think it's very easily done. The whole point of scaling is that you keep doing what you're doing right now, just with more behind it, right? You're doing it in a wider spans. And I think as long as you start having things solid with the foundation, then you can grow. But if you have any holes in that, those holes are just going to become bigger and more apparent as you scale. And that's when you start having huge issues.
And I think that happens with all industries, by the way. For example, with Stratus, I remember our first version of a loan application. It was on jot form.
No. Our first version was on paper.
Oh, it was on paper. You're right.
It was on paper.
Paper. Then we got it to jot form, HIPAA compliant jot form, and a couple other things too. It was a wild ride. Now it's all backed in Salesforce.
Oh, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. But I think you could scale any company, as long as you start off with a good foundation. I think that starts with literally anything. And safety is of utmost importance, no matter if you're flying one aircraft in your flight school or you're flying 20 of them. You need to have set standards of safety. Pre-briefing, post-briefing, you need to check the plane on the pre-flight, you need to do a post-flight inspection. These are all things that are really easy to do, but so many people do not do them. At least don't do them properly. At least when I've gone to certain flight schools, I see CFIs just kind of jump in the airplane. Let's go. We just flew it 5 minutes ago. Guess what? Do you know if you hit a bird 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, the beautiful thing about flying it 5 minutes ago is that you're now back on the ground and you can check it again.
Exactly.
It's important. Yeah. I don't see why people miss that.
You should have seen what in-depth pre-flight inspection I did on the RV.
That's been sitting in a hangar for 6 months?
Exactly. Yeah. And has not flown in 6 months. It might have had its engine started 6 months ago. I was mostly worried about the battery and the fuel.
I'm worried about anything getting up in the wires of that plane too.
I mean, it's at an airport. I know there's a bunch of cats at the airport, so I think they'd chase the mice away.
That's exactly why they have cats.
Exactly. But I think that's safety is non-negotiable. You need to have high-end safety standards at your flight school. So if you are not seeing your flight school put safety ahead of everything else, then that's a problem. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of flight schools that don't have new planes. And trust me, sometimes you don't want to fly the new planes. The new planes have just as many issues as the old ones do, by the way, except for the new ones might look prettier. And that will give you a false sense of safety and security. Now, rips and seats, things like that, that's not a safety issue. That's a
comfort
and looks ugly. And you're actually going to get a better deal on those planes because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Right?
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
There's a lot of people that will just kind of throw you at an airplane. You're checked out. And I have to admit, back in my early days, I would just check somebody out after they showed me they can fly the airplane, mostly because I wanted to rent it to them pretty well. I had some set safety standards, but over time, they have gotten incredibly more complex.
I watched them grow just in the time I was at that school. One of the big things was, there was an emphasis in the safety document, which a whole safety document is huge and important. But there was a part of it that discussed not taxiing over or under other plane wings.
Oh, my God. That should have been so easily known. And I fired somebody over doing it once.
Yeah. Someone did just that and ignored the safety document and ended up hitting the, It was the ADS-B inside the nav light.
Yeah. They cost like $2,000 worth of damage.
It wasn't just the nav light that got hit because it had hit, was it a pole or another plane?
Oh, no, it was another plane. They were pulling in.
Oh, even better. Yeah, hit another plane with that wing. And, you know, low speed, low impact, but still there's damage. You have to review everything and make sure that's still safe to fly. And, you know, just hitting a small thing can cause tons of damage, expensive damage in aviation, where a screw that costs $1 at Home Depot is $10.
Or 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that expensive. I mean, in that safety procedures document that you're referring to, by the way, if your school doesn't have a safety document that you sign and you abide by, that you read, you need to ask them why they don't have that. And if they need it, refer them over to me. Shoot them my email, Brandon@aviationmentors.com. I will give them a copy of my safety document. And they can use it, and they can use it for free. I rather
everyone be safe and have the same standards.
Yeah, we all have to share the skies together. So let's be safe. Let's understand that. Yeah. I want people to use that document. And if you've got a better one than me, then by golly, use that one. I'd prefer you use it.
Absolutely. Yep. But what did that document actually entail? I remember that section and a couple other things, like the general parts of the FAR AIM that mentioned safety.
I mean, it talked about minimums for solo flights. It talked about how a demo flight should be, when to hold controls, when to let go of controls. So positive exchange of controls, it talks about every aspect of the plane. It talks about, what else? Oh, safety minimums regarding weather, not just for solo, but for all flight.
Oh, I remember there's every type of flight. It was like dual instruction of a student pilot, dual instruction of a private pilot, instrument rated.
Yeah,
it separated everything out.
Yeah, we had minimums. If you were a renter, you could not fly down to minimums in our aircraft. We didn't allow that.
I wouldn't want you to.
I mean, we don't want that. It's not necessary. I'd rather you just not fly. I don't need to go make money.
So bad that I risk someone's safety.
Exactly. And maybe you're a proficient pilot that flies a lot of IFR. And sometimes maybe we make an exception for that individual. But normally not. I mean, unless you're flying every day IFR, which we're in Southern California with these airplanes, you're not going to be doing that. So it would be far and few between that you get an exemption from any of the safety standards that are listed in that. I mean, it has to be a really good reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Rightfully so. I mean, think about the schools that you fly at. They also have to have insurance on those planes. And insuring student pilots, you want to talk about that?
Insurance.
Insurance on a school plane is super cheap, right?
Yeah, yeah. You used to be able to insure like a 172 for, like I insured my 172 for $800 my first year.
$800 a year?
A year. Yeah, it's cheaper than a car. Now, for you to insure a 172 that costs like less than 150, you're looking at $2,000 a year, I think, two or three. And that's for an individual. If you want to do that with a flight school, I don't know. You can go anywhere from 2X to 10X that per year.
That's insane.
For me to insure the Icon, even with a bunch of hours, it's $20,000 a year. $20,000.
That hurts a little bit.
A lot of it.
I'm just trying to compare to my car insurance. I think I pay $200 for my car insurance a month.
A month. Well, that's because you're young and you have a sports car.
I'm a male and I have a sports car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the combination of hate.
Yeah, exactly. All those things, not good.
Not good. But I mean, even with insurance on school planes, there's a lot that goes into it because those planes are down for maintenance quite a bit.
By the way, my insurance on my sports car is less than yours.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. And you have more accidents on your record. I have one and I got hit.
I have no accidents.
Oh, yeah. They all fell off. Huh? Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into the school planes and they go through a lot of maintenance to make sure that the safety is a factor that is mitigated as much as possible. You know, we want to keep that risk as low as we can. And that's exactly why any plane that goes for rent has the 100-hour inspection.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you also normally do training in it, but but yeah, I mean, you want to do those things. You want to make sure the oil change is done on time. You want to make sure that the plane is kept really clean. These are small examples of just how to increase safety overall.
So when a school's going to actually want to scale, right? Most schools are going to hit a certain point where they just kind of stop growing. They just hit what that area has to offer for what they're offering. So when a school starts to scale, how do they make sure that their risk isn't growing with the amount of students they have. Because there's a pretty big misconception, I think, that the bigger a school is, the more risk that they have.
Hire a safety manager or promote somebody to safety manager and make sure that they know that nothing is off limits. Anything that they see should come directly to the chief pilot or the owner. That's a really big one.
That makes sense. What do you see a safety manager actually doing as a job?
I would safety manager, safety officer, whatever you want to call them. I would say they're looking at your policies and procedures regarding safety, and they're making recommendations to management and ownership regarding that. They're also going to create a program similar to like what the FAA has with the NASA program. We want you to report these problems. I have a feeling that's going to become a major thing in 141 schools, by the way, once we do 141 reform. And it should be in all schools in reality. You should be tracking your safety issues that you have, and you should be improving upon those. It's not bad to catch something, by the way. If you catch something that's not safe, as long as you fix it, it's okay. If you figure out like, oh, I have a training deficiency with my flight instructors. I didn't even realize it. I'll tell you this. There is a large flight school. I'm not going to name who it is on this, but there's a large flight school in the US that they have some deficiencies with their instructors. And it's because the instructors train the students. Students become the instructors. Instructors become the students. And it just goes on and on and on, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing I just said with scaling, is any holes are going to be more apparent.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to fix those things over time. And you just can't be afraid of admitting that, okay, well, we screwed up on this. We need to do this again, right? I talked to somebody the other day. Maybe it was you. I don't know who it was. But when you're in a high-wing aircraft, and you are turning crosswind, do you lift up your wing to check and see if there's an airplane wherever you're turning to?
It's not something I've usually thought to think about. I like low wings.
Well, a lot of people don't do that. Yeah. I learned to do that really early on, but I learned it from another pilot.
You do it habitually. I see you do it every time.
Yeah. I mean,
clear, and then you turn.
Yeah, I do it. And I even like put a little side slip in it so I don't start turning to the right. I put in that right rudder, lift up my left wing, and it still goes straight. And everything works out nice that way because I know exactly where that plane's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's little things like that that you want to look out for that you're maybe not finding. Well, I think that's probably enough talk about safety today. sometimes that gets on to be a little drawn out subject. If you've got some questions about safety, if you see something that's gone on in your flight school, you're curious about like, hey, should I report this? Shoot us an email, shoot us a message, anything like that. We'd love, or a comment below, right below, you know, right there below. We would love to help and help mitigate some of those safety issues. Like I said, I'm more than happy to hand over my safety document for you or for your flight school that you're at.
Yeah. I mean, you know, having safety involved, especially with the scaling, it's not just adding more management. It's really having a smart system in place. That's what you need to have.
Absolutely.
And that's what we saw at your flight school. Mm-hmm. Not just to butter you up, but it was a good system. Yeah. You know, there were a lot of safety procedures in place and we never really had any issues.
No, not really. The only issues we'd have is if somebody purposely broke the rules. And sometimes pilots do that. We've got these hazardous attitudes that sometimes come out. And as long as they don't come out all the time and you correct it, you understand how to fix these hazardous attitudes, it definitely helps. So
yeah. They seem a little silly to talk about sometimes, the hazardous attitudes.
Macho. That's my favorite one.
I know. I love macho.
Invulnerability.
Yeah. What was that one that's just like giving up?
Resignation.
Resignation. Yeah. That's a pretty funny one to talk about. It's like, oh, just give up.
Just give up.
Yeah.
No. Doesn't work.
But yeah, there's a couple more that we just don't talk about as much, but you can obviously tell. They come across, especially as you get more confident as a pilot, those are going to start coming across more and more, and you're not going to realize it until someone points it out sometimes.
Absolutely.
Which is the whole point of these documents, is to keep you in check.
Precisely. Cool. Well, with that being said, thank you so much for listening today. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to reach us, please reach us on LinkedIn. That's where we prefer to be. Reach that. You can also reach us on our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com or Carson@aviationmentors.com. Or for the one and only Mr. Producer Mark, you can reach him at producer@aviationmentors.com. Of course, please don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all the things you're supposed to do on social media. And of course, on YouTube, if you're watching us today. We really, really appreciate it. we're starting to get more and more views on YouTube, and it's kind of nice to see. I think our top one has 1,000 views, which was pretty impressive for us only starting video not too long ago, and posting on YouTube, which we're getting very excited about. And if you are one of our, I think, close to 12,000 Facebook followers, thank you very much. And anywhere else you're following us on social media, we really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And as we wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you.